Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 31. In this first half of the first chapter of 1 Kings, we have the record of David's declining years and the plot of his son Adonijah to take over the throne. We also have the plan of Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet to have Solomon installed as the rightful king. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him, but the king did not know her. Let's consider a few background notes. The author of 1 Kings is unknown, but probably it was one of the following: Ezra, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah. Jewish tradition goes with Jeremiah as the author. The purpose of 1 Kings is not just to teach the facts of history, but to teach the lessons of history as well. Now here in the first four verses of this chapter, we see that King David was getting old and he wasn't well. David would be about 70 at this time, and he has circulation problems. He can't keep warm. So they come up with a plan. A beautiful young woman named Abishag was obtained for the king's harem. She would be a nurse for David and keep him warm. Verse 4 says that the king did not know Abishag, that is, know her sexually. This does not mean that she was not considered his wife or concubine, as we'll see in chapter 2. But it emphasizes that David had lost his strength and virility as the king. By the way, this is a good place to point out that when you interpret the Bible, you must let the narrative be subject to the didactic. That is, your Bible stories must be subject to your direct teaching passages of Scripture. The Bible is not teaching here that if a man is getting older and has circulation problems, that the solution is to get him a new, young, and beautiful wife to keep him warm. No, this is what did happen, not what should happen. We should only draw lessons and principles out of Bible stories or biblical narrative that are backed up by other straight teaching passages of Scripture. Well, now, what are some lessons that we can draw out of this account? Let's look at two doctrinal or teaching points, and we'll capture each one with a well-known quotation. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one: spare the rod and spoil the child. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Verses 5 through 10. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty men, or Solomon his brother. This principle, spare the rod and spoil a child, comes right from Proverbs 13, verse 24, which says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly or early." Now, where do we see that truth taught in this chapter? We see it in verse 6. This is the inspired writer's comment on why Adonijah, the son of David, had such audacity and undisciplined ambition so as to try and grab the royal throne and become king over all Israel. Verse 6 once again. And his father, that is David, And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" David was a good king and a great king, but he was not always the greatest father. Remember how David did not discipline his son Absalom, even though Absalom had killed Amnon, another son of David. This lack of discipline opened the way for Absalom to usurp the throne. Now here again in the case of Adonijah, we read that David never at any time disciplined him or rebuked him for wrongdoing. No wonder Adonijah did his own thing and exalted himself and made an elaborate display of himself and said, "I will be king." And with his good looks and charisma, we see that Adonijah was able to get General Joab and Abiathar the priest and others to support him in his self-made coronation. How is it possible for all this unchecked selfish ambition to be on the part of Adonijah? Answer: Adonijah never had been disciplined. The same is true today. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Children must be disciplined. Whether it be spanking or timeouts or loss of privileges, there must be discipline, or there will be bad fallout in the future. Many parents have learned too late that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Doctrinal point number two: ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Verses 11 through 31. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? Come, please, let me now give you advice, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go immediately to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king?' Then while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words." So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, "What is your wish?" Then she said to him, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen when my lord the king rests with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him. And they say, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Then David answered and said, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place,' so I certainly will do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." The principle, "ask and you shall receive," comes right from our Lord's words in Matthew 7, verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We see this truth taught here in this chapter in the actions of Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. While Adonijah and his supporters were conducting sacrifices and holding a feast, and everyone was proclaiming, verse 25, "Long live King Adonijah." While this was going on, Nathan and Bathsheba came up with a plan to remind David of the vow that he had made that Solomon would be king. When David heard that Adonijah had proclaimed himself king, he immediately called in Bathsheba and granted her request. You know, this is a wonderful picture of the biblical truth of what our Lord Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive," for two reasons. Reason number one, David the king is a picture or type of Christ, our king. As Bathsheba, David's wife, shared her desires with her husband, so we Christians, the church, the body and bride of Christ, share our requests and desires with the Lord. And reason number two, Bathsheba's request was based on what David had already vowed, namely that Solomon would be the next king. In the same way, you see, when we come to the Lord, our king, with our requests, the request should be based on his revealed word. In fact, "ask and you shall receive" is based on that assumption that we are asking in line with the word of God. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." But if we make our request based on the word of God, then the Lord answers in his time, every time. "Ask and you shall receive." Practical application. Are you a Joab or a Benaiah? Are you a Joab or a Benaiah? Joab and Benaiah were both military men who served David. Both had performed some mighty deeds for David. Remember how Joab had courageously climbed up the water shaft to get into the city of Jerusalem, which was held by the Jebusites? But now we see here in verse 7 that Joab had forsaken David and had changed his allegiance to Adonijah. Joab operated on the principle of "what's in it for me." Joab reasoned that David was on his way out and Adonijah was going to be the next king, so why not jump on the bandwagon early? Forget about loyalty to King David. Are you a Joab? Where is your loyalty when it's not easy to be known as a Christian? Are you loyal to the Lord on the college campus and where you work? We see from verse 8 that Benaiah remained loyal and faithful to David. Read about the mighty deeds of Benaiah in 2 Samuel chapter 23. When the going got tough and it looked like Adonijah was going to become the next king, Benaiah never wavered. His allegiance was with David, who was still the rightful king. What about us and our allegiance to the Lord, who is our king? When times are tough and the crowd is moving in the opposite direction, where is your allegiance? Are you a Joab or a Benaiah?